Christianity is a love affair between God and His people Israel, between Jesus and His bride, Jesus being the bridegroom. It's a love affair. It's an intimate love affair. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual intimacy akin to, similar to, our love affair on earth. But it takes us to a different level to understand that God is a loving Father. He's not an angry judge. He's a loving Father who loves us so much that there's nothing you could do or think or say, or nothing you could leave undone that you should have thought, said, or done that God hasn't forgiven. God has completely, when Jesus Christ died, you died. So that means everything about you is gone. When he was buried, you were buried. So can't rise again. And then when he ascended, you ascended. When he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. And when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, you sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, what's difficult then to get a hold of is that there's nothing for you to do. And this teaching is not, everyone doesn't like this teaching. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because this is the most freeing thing in the world, is that there's no pressure or weight on you as there is under a law. So if you're under a law, then it's what you don't do or do. It's what you refrain from doing or what you're enjoined to do, positively, negatively. But I'm telling you, that's not my experience. It's not the scripture that I understand, is you don't do anything. And apart from me, Jesus said you can do nothing. And I believe that in Him, you, of course, can do all things, but it's in Him. And therefore, anything you do is related to Him. But God is not after you doing stuff, even though He's going to say someday, well done, good and faithful servant. He's after you knowing Him. It's the love affair that matters. Because when you love somebody, you do it willingly, freely, from the heart, and with all your heart. But if you're forced under a law, if there has to be external pressure put to your manipulation, or, you know, putting some pressure on you as though you had some capacity, you don't have any capacity. None. Zero. You by nature have no ability or capacity to do anything. But by a new creation, of course, you can do all things. But the new creation isn't you kind of independent of Jesus doing something. The new creation is that you're not independent, but you're intimately involved with your beloved. And so Christianity is not outer court. Christianity is not even holy place, but Christianity is the holy of holies. Kodesh Kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim. In Hebrew, it means that innermost place where only God mikvahs, only God dwells, only God has His tent. That's where you meet God. So He's not just after you believing in Him in the outer court, or just in you being disciplined and discipled and instructed and trained and taking up your own cross and so on in the holy place, but ultimately the only thing that God is after is lovers. That those that actually love Him, first of all, and then of course that'll spill out to others because you're a lover. Now I want to explain to you in the Greek language that the word love has three different words. Two of them are in classical Greek. The third one is only known in the New Testament. But the New Testament is known for this third word, and that's why the New Testament is written in Greek, because the Hebrew does not have three different words. But the Greek is dikaios, or dikaiosune. That's faith imputed to you. And then that's the mercy of God. He forgives you for all your sins. But that doesn't take away your sins. So you have to go to the holy place. You have to go to the holy place. The holy place is inner. So you move from the outer court. Here's the outer court. And then you move into the holy place, number two, and then you move into the Holy of Holies. So here's the outer court, and here's the gate out here, and here's the wicked world out here. And here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which you weren't supposed to eat of. And then here's the wicked world's Baalism, which you could try then to be as moral and as decent and look good on the outside. And then here's the law given by Moses on Mount Sinai, which tells you what to do, but you can't get into this house through the law. You can't get into this house through the law. It's got to be through the gospel. And so the first thing you run into is an altar out here, and on that altar, the lamb is killed, and his blood is shed. So the lamb is burned up. All your flesh is gone, and there's nothing left to the lamb except the blood. And the high priest carries you past the laver. He carries you past the laver, into the holy place, and there on this side you have a table of showbread. Over here you have a little, I know you probably can't see any of this, but you have a lampstand, and then you have an altar of incense. So you actually have outer court, one, and then here you have the altar of sacrifice, two, and then you have the laver, three, then you have the table of showbread, four, five, the candelabra or candlestick, and then number six, you have the altar of incense, smoke going up. And then in here you have the Holy of Holies, seven. Now, in this Holy of Holies, the Song of Solomon is being sung, because this is the ultimate destiny for us, which is to be a lover of God. So this is the love, which is the fruit. You could say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All of that takes place in here. And Jesus dies for all your sin here, so you're forgiven. That's the mercy of God. He forgives you. Probably can't see that. So let's see if I've got something you can see. So that forgiveness is out here because you believe in Jesus. So forgiveness through faith. But faith is only the beginning. And then baptism here in the laver. And then communion here, akin to your will, akin to your mind, akin to your emotions, in other words, the death of you. So the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this holy place, is to kill your old man, crucify, not Jesus, he's already been crucified out here. This is the outer court crucifixion. But here, you take up your cross until you are dead. That means your will, your mind, your emotions, these three pieces of furniture in here, they're completely destroyed so that they no longer rule and reign. But you now will his will, you now think his thoughts, you now have his emotions, and therefore you're able then to enter in as a perfect bride, perfected completely. Now, I'm not teaching about this today. I'm just indicating how the Scripture looks at this whole business, is that you move from the outer world. Here is the snake in the garden who told you to do something or other, and then you did it. And Adam and Eve then sinned. So there's your sin. And then Baal was the false religion, which is still with us today, is man behaving himself, kind of a, you know, no heart in it, but just man behaving on the outside, but it's really satanic, totally satanic. And then here you have the Jewish religion, which is outwardly lip service, praising God, worshiping God, but their heart is not in it. Here you get a new heart by faith. So now I had when I sinned, I filled my heart with sin, no matter what my behavior was. This religion then said, no, God's totally pleased with you being the best you can be. How do you know? Man at his best state is altogether not only wicked, but it's also vain. So whether it's, you know, the false religion of the pagan or the Jewish religion, which, you know, is a true religion. I mean, there's nothing wrong in it. It just says, you know, be perfect like God is. That's a good religion. But you have to have your heart in it. And if your heart isn't in it, then neither will your soul really be in it. And your body is not going to respond to it. So God God, that is eternally then deficient. That's the mistake of the Jewish people, is they have the outer forms, they have the outer life, man at his best state. It's nothing to God, because God wants only Jesus to do things. So this is you at your worst. This is you at your best. Best or worst, it's still you. Therefore, it's evil. Everything that you can do is nothing. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So this picture in the Old Testament of the house of God, this is God's mikvah. This is where God lives, in the Kodesh Kodashim, in the Holy of Holies. And you have to go through this death place to get to this resurrection place. In other words, love comes out of your death. In other words, if you still love yourself, you cannot love God or the church or others or your enemies. And all God's after is not all this religious stuff. What He's after is for you to know Him. And this kind of knowing is holy, holy right here, holy here, and holy. Holy, holy, holy. And this brings you into the very throne of God. These three different things, which is, you know, hear my spiritual rebirth, hear my psychological or soul death, and hear my bodily, where I'm actually in love with the Father, in love with His Son through the Spirit. So here I've moved then deeper and deeper and deeper into the innermost love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what the Song of Solomon is. This is the song right here of Proverbs. This is the song here of Ecclesiastes. But this is the Song of Songs, the greatest of all. I don't know if that helps you, but what God is after is not religion. He's after a relationship of love where it actually shows up in your family on earth, where actually Peggy is loved by me unconditionally, which means my death. If I don't see the Lord, the way you die is not you die. You don't kill yourself. The way you die is to see His love. When you see His love in the outer court and you focus on that and meditate on that, all your sins go away. So in other words, He forgave my sin, but He didn't remove them in the outer court. But when I start moving deeper and deeper into the one that loved me, I find that He's behind curtains and walls and so on and so forth. But I keep moving in, and the more I grow in the Lord and the more word I receive, the more that sins are no longer interesting to me. When you're a new Christian, you're just glad that your sins are forgiven, and you still, you know, every once in a while get angry and mad and so on. And you feel like God's pleased with you when you don't get so angry and so mad. That is not what pleases God. He doesn't care that you sinned. I'm sorry, you're not going to understand that, but listen. He doesn't care that you sinned. What He cares about is after you've sinned. How many know everybody ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Everybody. He said, don't eat of it. The day you eat of it, you'll die. But we didn't die, but we did die. We died spiritually, so you got to eat of another tree, the tree of life. That's Jesus there in the outer court. When you eat of that tree, that is the medicine, the balm in Gilead, that completely heals you from eating of that other tree in life. Because there is no life in life. There is nothing here but death, 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 death. But after you leave this world, and love of this world is hatred of the Father. In other words, you're not in love with the Father. But love of the Father is hatred of this world. It's not hatred like hatred. It's hatred like there's nothing there. That's all going to disappear and fall away. And so you're in a process, you're a work in progress, where God is turning you into a lover, not just a good Christian who behaves himself, not just a moral person, not just a nice person, not just someone who does stuff. You say, well, Pastor, you're going to be told, well done. Yes, but the well done is not that you did something. It's that He did something that caused you to fall in love with Him, and therefore you did stuff as a branch, which doesn't produce fruit of itself, but the branch then produces fruit because of the love affair you have in the vine, in the tree, in the person of God. Make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. But the fruit goes through the branch, but you're passive in that. So everything in there is all God, 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 God. Everything in there is get out of this world, leave this world, repent at the door, and then believe at the altar, then be baptized, then enter into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a different kind of baptism, not the water baptism in the outer court, the laver, but the actual baptism where your will is no longer your own. where your mind is no longer unrenewed, but it's renewed every day, that Jesus loves me unconditionally, and that your emotions are happy all the time. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if that's possible on this earth. Well, you're right. It isn't possible to be perfected in that completely. But it is right that you actually can experience the process of being perfected on a daily, continual, constant basis. But you can't stay in the outer court and get that. If you stay in the outer court, I tell you, you will fall right back into legalism and license. Legalism being the Jewish expression, license being the worldly, pagan, Hinduism, Buddhism, all those religions can't do anything to renew you because they won't give you a new heart. But neither will Judaism. So whether you're legalistic on the outside or licentious on the outside, it's irrelevant. It's all dead works. Every bit is dead works. What God wants to do is enter into a fellowship with you, a relationship with you, and He will overlook your sin. He will forgive your sin in the outer court. Then He wants to remove the sin in the holy place so that then you can be a lover of Him, of one another, and of the world, and even of your enemy. Now that is what God is coming back for, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. I hope you understood something of that. Now let's look at the Holy of Holies, which is not Proverbs, it's not Ecclesiastes, outer court, holy place, but it is the Holy of Holies in Song of Solomon chapter 4. Behold, you are fair. You could translate that beautiful. You are comely. You are spotless even. In other words, you have no blemishes. So he is going to describe now the church. Now the church is not just Gentile, us, but the church is Jew and Gentile together. Have we seen that yet? No, you have to take it by faith. Because we don't yet see, we can have Jewish members, but we don't yet see that God has brought all of Israel and the church into one. But you make a mistake if you think we're the church and he could come tomorrow. He can't come tomorrow because the kingdom has not yet been restored to Israel. And we have not then been the church that we ought to be for their sake and for the sake of the whole world. In other words, we have to go back out, and after we go into the Holy of Holies, the Lord's going to lead us back out through the Spirit to redeem the world and to also help Israel through our mercy, that is, that we were shown mercy so that they also can realize, well, if you guys can get in, anybody can get in, because they need a new heart. And so both the redemption of Israel or the restoration of their kingdom and also the world coming unto the Lord so that they can be lovers from the heart, not just from the outward, but from the heart. Now, that hasn't happened yet. So whatever you think about how much God has done in history, the best has been saved to the last. And we're part of that. We are now at those end times when the Lord's about to return. I don't know if you can see it, but the world, even the world knows this. The world is falling apart right now. There's no hope. All they're doing is shuffling the deck, you know, the deck chairs around on the Titanic before it goes down. There's no more leaders out there. They're all like children. You know, when you look at a leader, you just see a child. You know, it's like anybody could be that dumb, and including pastors as well. They may be saying all kinds of true things, but they are not causing the bride to be purified or perfected. And that's why we're looking at the Song of Solomon, which is to fall in love with Jesus. You know he loves you, but did you know that you also love him? You're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. But that isn't just a matter of faith. You could actually submit. In the outer court, you just believe. But that means you're just imputed to be righteous, but you're not actually done with your sin. How many know you still get angry at times? How many know you still get jealous at times? How many know that sometimes you're envious? Sometimes you feel sorry for yourself and all those things. All right, that's not a lover. A lover is someone who has no self to worry about. Your self has been crucified. You've taken up your cross. You've become a steward of the mysteries of God, a trustee. God is the benefactor, and then Jesus was the first trustee, and we were the beneficiary of it in the outer court. But when you go into the holy place, you're no longer a beneficiary. Of course, you still are the beneficiary because you're falling in love with Jesus. But you now become, because you want to be like him, not just that believe in him as a believer, But you want to be a disciple of his and submit to anything he says. You begin to trust him. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, I don't know. It just happens. I mean, it just happens when you're a lover and you realize what Jesus has done for you, a sinner. Everybody outside of that little courtyard thing, everybody outside is in sin. They're in darkness. They're lost. They're going to perish. And the only way that God can do it is get some people on the inside who will be perfected so that the world, when they see your good works, will give glory to your Father in heaven. The world isn't yet seeing the glory of the church. They aren't yet seeing that we're lovers. They see that we believe in Jesus, but that doesn't help them. They don't even see your heart. They see that maybe you're even being discipled and taught and trained and afflicted. You know, that's what I do here, afflict you with words. Why? Because words actually destroy your flesh. The more we preach and read the Word of God, it destroys all your self-confidence. Why? Because it's after yourself. No pride, no anger, no lust, no fear, nothing ruling you. You say, well, are you saying we're going to be sinless? No, you will sin. You just won't let sin stay, abide. The minute that you sin, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And when he convicts you, then you immediately repent and so on and so forth. So you do that in the outer court where the Lord is saying, now come into the holy place where I can destroy you and I want you to trust me. So he takes you through the affliction. And so the thing you're running away from is the thing you should run to, which is suffering and stuff. The thing you're running to is the thing you should run from, which is, you know, trying to find life in life, or I don't want to have any suffering. I want everything to be wonderful and great and glorious. It's not going to happen. This world is dark. This world has no hope in it. This world has no faith in it. It has no love in it. It has nothing. Faith, hope, love. Faith is the outer court. Hope is the holy place. Love is the holy of holies. What we want to become is what we already are, which is lovers. But even though we are lovers, and that includes, by the way, all the gifts. All the gifts. When it says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, those nine gifts are love. They're the gifts of love. They're the works of love. Why? Because God is love. And those are God's nature. Those are God's character. Those are God's walk among us, is to show us that through Jesus Christ. And now that is what God wants to be in you. Jesus is done. He did what he was going to do. Now he's up in heaven, and he sent back the Holy Spirit to bring you into death. Death comes before resurrection, which is the holy place. And then to take you into Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, where you are free. And people can tell, this is not you any longer. They don't see you. When they see you doing a good work, they know it's not you. And that's why they don't glorify you and say, oh, you've become such a nice person. Look, you just say, no, I'm not a nice person. I'm just dead to myself. I'm a branch in a vine, and the fruit comes out. That was the vine did that. The vine through the branch. I know he did it through me, but it didn't come from me. It came through me. And therefore, it's only because I'm dead. Because if I was alive, I would take it all. I would take everything that God had just for myself. So the church that stays in the outer court is a selfish church. You didn't get anyone else saved because you didn't have any fruit that they could see and glorify the Father. So it's just what's happening today in our churches, we're producing lukewarm people in the outer court. We're not, you know, we say, well, we're not Jewish, you know, we have new hearts. Yeah, you have a new heart, but you don't have a new soul and you don't have a new body yet. In other words, you don't have a life that your wife and your husband and your children and your neighbors and the church and the world can see. So what God wants is for you not to stay in the Holy of Holies as though that were a room with a curtain over it. That curtain's been taken off. You now can go right out into the world, not when you're born again, but when you're born again. If you go out when you're born again, they're not going to see it. They don't. How many know that nobody can see your heart? So nobody knows that you're a Christian without the bumper sticker on your car. They wouldn't know. Without some kind of, you know, cross that you're wearing or something, they wouldn't know. The only way they know is when they see your good works. That's when they glorify the Father. That's in Matthew, the 5th chapter. But what God wants today, and this is what the Song of Solomon is all about, it's a love affair between God the Father and his people Israel and Jesus Christ and the bride, who become one. Not now. It hasn't happened yet. It's happening now. It's about to occur. Netanyahu, for example, he knows what I'm saying right now. He totally knows about it. Theologically, he understands it. But they haven't yet experienced a church that looks like a church. They've only experienced an outer court church, which is lukewarm. And therefore, even though they believe that you feel that as a Christian you should say all those things, they don't really believe you believe it. Because they don't see any sign. They don't see any evidence. They don't see the doing of His will. Now, they see individuals doing it. They see individual Christians doing it. And they give glory for that. They do. But they just think you're being moral. They don't know that it's really Jesus. As a matter of fact, they don't believe it is. Because they know how Jesus did it to the sacrifice and the death of the self. That's what they don't see. They see that Christians are still selfish. Christians are still just human. Well, they have that. Where do you get the new heart that produces a new soul, that produces new life? They don't see that. So the church is not known for its love. The early church was actually known for its love. The thing about the early church is they outlived all of their persecutors and haters because they loved with an unconditional love. Three words in the Greek, dikaios, it means you've been imputed to be righteous, outer court. Then hagios, which is in the holy place, you're actually holy, meaning you want to do the will of God. You're not doing it. You just want to do it. And you understand that a Christian is someone that should do it, but you're still not doing it. So that's hagios. You even emotionally are happy in Jesus, but your happiness hasn't yet produced any fruit or any life because you're not fully dead. That's the problem. But when they see the third word, which is doxa, that's the glory of God. That's the love. That when they see that, they know. And they're immediately convicted. I mean, immediately they realize they heard it with the hearing of the ear. Now they've seen it with the seeing of the eye. They don't believe that Christians are really Christian. The Jewish people have watched Christians over the centuries, you know, crusades and all those kind of stupid things that we Christians did. How many know that Christians do stupid things? And all of the inquisitions and all of this stuff. So they don't really have we don't have a good reputation among them. If it weren't for the tourism in Israel, they wouldn't like us at all. We're the number one moneymaker for them is Christians who come to see the Holy Land. But we didn't come to love them. We just come to look at, you know, things that are external. You know, here's the tomb where Jesus, you know, laid. Here's the place where he was. And it's all very commercial anyway. And you don't have any holiness in the outer form. Most religion today is just purely external. A building, the clothes the pastor wears, you know, some kind of altar that they might have, or there's a sacrifice or whatever. It's all external. We Christians are known not for any of those externals. We're known only for our love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That is all that we should be producing. Instead, we're not. We're just producing people that behave themselves and so on. That's not it. It isn't you behaving. God doesn't care that you behave. He doesn't care that you misbehave. What He cares about is, do you really love Him? Do you know Him? Now, the word gnosis in the Greek language, it means to enter in all the way from the outer court through the holy place into the Holy of Holies. Gnosis means to know Him and know Him and know Him. Adam knew his wife. Okay? That means he had intercourse with his wife, which means he loved his wife and produced something out of that love. That knowing, that kind of knowledge is an experiential knowledge, not a head knowledge. It's not, yes, she's my wife. It's actually being so intimate, so in love. That is God. God has always loved his people from the moment he created them. We've sinned against him. He's not troubled by that. Otherwise, he would just have killed us the day we ate of it. But he obviously left us alive and forget how he did that or why he did it and so on. He did it without lying. But he will never force anybody. This is why it's love. Love means free. Love means you do something from the heart without external force. So I love Peggy not because I have to, because she's my wife, or because I'm a pastor and don't want to look like I'm not. The reason I love Peggy is because I love Peggy. Because she's a gift of God to me, the perfect gift of God, and I love her completely. And I love you completely. You don't have to behave for me. You don't have to like me. I had somebody yesterday yell at me and so on and so forth, and very angry. Okay, it's okay. but I don't need the affirmation because Jesus loves me, right? So I wasn't angry that he was angry. I actually love him, and I told him, you know, look, all of this may be true. Maybe I sinned and did all this kind of stuff. But I'll just tell you this. I have always loved you, and I still love you in this moment. But he's yelling and so on and so forth. But so what? I don't care that people misbehave or say stuff or whatever. Our religion is not a religion of doing stuff or of looking like stuff or of having physical external things. You know, the clothes we wear. If you're a Amish, you have to wear a black thing and so on. It has nothing to do with anything. You know, we have this kind of hat and this kind of crown and this kind of... No, we don't need any of that. Our religion, we're the temple. We're not into a building. We're not into the Jews building their building again or whatever. We are the building. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Israel will be restored. The world will be reaped. In other words, a remnant will come out of every nation, every tongue, every tribe. Not everybody's coming. Y'all know that. We're not going to save everybody. Who are you going to save? Only those that are given to you. Jesus said, I came for those that were given to me by you. Did God make them come? No, anybody can come to Jesus, but only those that come are given. In other words, those that come on their own free will. So, and everybody here has the free will. If you want to belong to Jesus, you can. You have to know who he really is. He's not just a Savior, outer court, but he's also a Lord, inner place. And then he's a beloved in the Holy of Holies. So his lordship is not the end of it either. I can just make every knee bow and every tongue confess. He's not into that. Of course he is the Lord, but he wants you voluntarily with a new heart in the outer court, then a new soul in the holy place, and then a new life, a new body, where you are a living sacrifice with no life of your own. How many know that if you lose your life, you find it? And if you keep your life, you will never find life. I guarantee you, if you want to win in this world, you're not going to win. Even if you win, you won't win. The only thing you want to know is the Lord. The only reason you're here on this earth is to fall in love with the Father, to fall in love with the Son, to fall in love with the Holy Spirit and know him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, faith, hope, love, outer court, holy place, holy of holies. I can do 15, 20 of those. Because it's always the same. God wants to perfect you. Little children, outer court. Young men, holy place, that's submitted to the Father. And then mature and loving fathers. It's always the same. It's always the same. And so God is moving us through this penetration into the Holy of Holies until you end up in the Holy Holies. Why? Because he's only coming back for a bride without spot or without wrinkle or without any such thing. In other words, a perfect bride. So he's perfecting his bride right now here for his return. And it's my task not to make you do that. It's just to tell you that's what God wants. What about all the others? I don't know and I don't really care. I don't care who's sinning and who's Israel and so on. I only care about one thing. Get into that Holy of Holies and whoever has an ear, let them hear. And if you hear today, fine. If you don't hear today, maybe tomorrow we'll preach the same thing, say the same thing until you get there. But it's going to be your decision. It's your decision. But it's not a decision you can make like, okay, I think I'll be in the Holy of Holies. You can't really do it that way. It's really that he's made an offer and you either believe it or you don't. It's either that he says, I'm your Lord, submit to me, and you either do or you don't. It's either that I want you to love one another as I've loved you. You either do or you don't. You can't make yourself do it. You can't force yourself, okay, I'll be a Christian. You can't do it that way. It's got to be a love affair. I didn't love Peggy because she's lovable. I love Peggy because she's my wife and she's perfect. I mean, I love her unconditionally. That's called agape love. So eros is a Greek word, which means I would love somebody as an object, not as a subject, not as a person. So eros means I love you. And when somebody says that, and that's most marriages are built out of eros, I love you because it makes me feel good. You fulfill me. But I'm not interested in you. You're just an object. Could be ice cream or a horse. You know, it could be anything. But I just want to be satisfied. I want to use you for my purposes. That's an object. You've turned that person into an object. But persons are not objects. They're persons. So that's eros. So most marriages fail, 50% now or some number, whatever it is, fail because we've treated one another as objects of our own interest. Well, you don't interest, I don't love you anymore. And so that's all nonsense. Number two is phileo. That's another form of love, which is friendship. We both like skiing. Let's get married. Okay, so you found something in common where you're equal, you know, and as long as you're both skiing and one doesn't break their leg or something, you're okay. You got a good marriage. But if one thing goes wrong, that phileo isn't going to work either, because now we don't have anything in common anymore. And we've just suddenly lost that. Or you were pretty and I was handsome and so on, and then we got married. That's silly stuff. Why? Because it's weak, it's vulnerable, it has no foundation. So the whole world knows about eros and phileo kind of love. But there is another word, agape, which is our kind of love. Why? Because it's God's kind of love. And it does not show up in classical Greek. With all their brilliance, the Greeks never thought of this. They didn't know the word, a love that is totally unconditioned by anybody, anything in this world. In other words, I love because it's my nature to love. That you'd have to go through the holy place and die to yourself to have. Otherwise, you'll be selfish. You cannot erase selfishness by behaving. How many know that, let's say you behave nicely to somebody, we do it every day. We behave nicely to somebody, but my heart isn't in it. Because I was either going to use you, or we had something in common, so we have mutual interests. Okay, it's not love. Here's the love we have. No matter what you do, I don't care. I love you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you, ever, no matter what you do. You can even kill my son. You can either kill me. You can do anything you want. I still love you. God will love even people that are in hell today. They've already, you know, finished. He still loves them, and he always did. They just didn't receive it. But that's their freedom. That's their liberty. They have the right to do that. It's wrong. But God doesn't stop loving them. It's just they never took advantage of it. There are many Christians that know that God loves them, but they don't love him in the same way that he loved them. That first kind of love is in the outer court. I love it that God forgives me for all my sins. I'm using him to build me up. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that's good because he does forgive all your sins. But he also wants you to submit to him and come into a love affair. Let's go deeper in this relationship from just outer court believing in me. I want you to become like me. I want us to be one in every way, spirit, soul, body. And when you do that, you have to go in and you die. You see, love is really death. When you love somebody, you're really no longer you. You really lose your you-ness in the other person. And when they die, you also die. A piece of you is lost. You know, Marshall just died recently, and another man, Pitch, just died recently. And they were close to me. They were two awesome disciples. But when they died, it was like me dying. I mean, it was like a piece of me. But of course, our foundation is Jesus. That is part of our love. But you know what? I'm going to see them in heaven. I mean, we're not separated. They're not dead. They're still alive. They're sleeping right now, but they're still alive. So they will not perish. Well, let's say what kind of works they did, especially, you know, near the end of their life. I don't care about any kind of works they did. I love them. They love me. That was all. So nobody can change that. That doesn't change because of death. How many know that death doesn't change your love for your parents or your love for your friends or your sisters and brothers or whoever you love? God wants to give you that kind of agape love that says, no matter what circumstances are, no matter how I'm treated, no matter if you use me or abuse me, I don't care. No matter if we have skiing together, but you don't want to ski anymore, I don't care. Agape love is totally unconditional. I will love Peggy, and you can think of all the things she could do. It's not going to change me. Why? Because I'm fixed. Why? Because of Jesus. I'm just the branch in Jesus, and that's what he taught me in the Word, but I actually believe that. And not only that, but he's killed me in all my other areas. And not only that, but I'm behaving that way. I can tell you it was a long journey, because you don't just get that in the outer court when you start being a Christian. You have lost your first love. The outer court, you first loved it that Jesus loved you. But that kind of love wasn't developed in us. It wasn't perfected. Love, love, love. Outer, holy, holy of holies. What God wants is to give us that holy of holies kind of love that he has with us. And the only way you can get it is to have God in you, with you, and intimate with Him. You've got to do that alone with God. No one can give you that. You can't get that in church. You won't learn the love of God in church. You can learn about the love of God, but you won't get that kind of love in church, even through the Word. That Word has to come alive, come alive. Everything's in the Word. The glory's in the Word. Glory, glory, glory. Love, love, love. Holy, holy, holy. They're all the same, but they are each different. In other words, they're deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's how you grow in the knowledge. That's how you increase in the knowledge. That's how your faith becomes active in love. What's He coming back for? A bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. What about everybody else? I don't know, and I don't care. I really don't. I don't know who's in or not, but I do know this, that if the Jewish people are going to be restored, and I know they are, but if they're going to be restored, it's going to be because I got into the Holy of Holies, not because I was in the outer court. Hey, guys, get in here. No, they aren't impressed with us because they don't see our heart. I really like you guys, even though two scriptures from the Old Testament. They don't care about all that. What they don't see is your love. Come to Israel. Come and suffer. You know, come and be with me. I'm in trouble right now. My neighbors don't like me. Come to Israel when the airplanes are flying over and so on. And I did that, by the way. We were the only group that went, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, when all the, you know, the enemies were, you know, throwing bombs into Tel Aviv and Haifa and so on and so forth. And that's when I was there, and I loved it. I never felt scared or nervous or worried or anything. But the Ministry of Culture came out after our trip was over, and they said, you were the only group from America this year that came. It was at the end of the year, November, I believe. But it was at the end of the year at Booths, time of Booths. And Booths was when the people that were in their 80s had these numbers on their arm that they got from Schindler's List or from Adolf Hitler. Those numbers that were on there because they were Jewish, they would come up to us and say, because of the trouble that's happening right now, nobody comes as a tourist. There's only one reason you came, because you love us. Wow, how could they know that? And tears would then come down their eyes, and then they would invite you into their booth, into their mikvah, into their house, and say, come and fellowship with us. And it's too powerful. I tell you, Israel is ripe right now. There are over 120, probably 30, 40, I don't know, Sabras, that means you were born in the land, in Israel today, who love the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. And they are the ones, that, I mean, you cannot stop them. See, it's against the law for us to, let's say, openly proselytize like a public setting. But it's not for a Sabra. They live in the land. There's no law against them. Against such, there is no law. They can witness at any time. Well, they are winning thousands and thousands. It's amazing. So pretty soon the number will be filled up. And that when that number comes, the Lord will return. So right now, there are all those people inside of Israel that are experiencing Yeshua as their HaMashiach. And they are beginning to sing, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, blessed be He that came, that comes in the name of the Lord. I tell you what, that you can only get if you see Jesus. You see, only the Holy of Holies shows Jesus. In the holy place, you're still yourself. You're just undergoing the process of dying. But in the outer court, you only have a new heart. In the holy place, you still have a new heart, but you also get a new soul because your old soul is dying. You no longer are in love with this world. Every piece of sin, every piece of the world that's in you has to be destroyed. Otherwise, you can't enter into the Holy of Holies. So that should show up in your marriage. It should show up in your church. It should show up in the world. It should show up at business. It should show up everywhere you are where people see you're a lover. You're not in this for yourself. I don't need to be. I don't want anything. I've never taken anything from any of the mission trips we've taken. I won't take a penny even. Nothing. You can't give me anything. But I'll give, but I can't take. Why? Because Abraham said that. You know, you can't give me something. Only God. How many know that God has given you everything? When he gives you something, He gives you everything. Now, we have a lot of work right here to do in Fort Worth. We have a lot of work to do in our families. We have a lot of work. So just start with wherever you are. And keep moving. Don't worry about getting into the Holy of Holies too early. Just go, just move in the right direction. You know, so it's not how far you got, Let's say Jesus comes back and not everybody's perfected. That's okay. He's not after that. What he's after is, do you have faith? That's the foundation. And have you begun to build the house? Are you being built into the house by the Holy Spirit? The Father is the one that builds you. You're the house that he's building. And then whether you look perfected or not, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So that work of sanctification is what's going on. We call it discipleship. It just means you have voluntarily said, because of your new heart, I want to be all the way. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be me anymore, helping Jesus out a little bit. I just want to be dead. I don't want anything to be of me. Why? Because it doesn't work. How many know being you doesn't work? It won't build a good marriage. It won't build a good, even if you keep staying together. You know, it's not going to build a good marriage. So you want to have that love affair, and all I'm saying to you today is, that's what he's talking about. I don't know if I have any time. Do I have any time? Let me read this love affair that the Father has with Israel and that Jesus has with his bride who are being brought together. Behold, you are beautiful, you are fair, my love. This is God speaking to us. Behold, you are fair and you have the eyes of a dove within your locks. And your hair, he's speaking to us, individually and as a corporate body. Your hair is as a flock of goats that appears from Mount Gilead. Remember, that's where the balm is found, on Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep that are shorn, which came up out of the washing, wherein everyone bears twins, and none is barren. In other words, the church today, everyone should not be barren. They should be fruitful, holy of holies. Thy lips are like threads or ribbons of scarlet. Thy speech, those you have beautiful lips, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples, forehead, are like pieces of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck, it's like the Tower of David, that's Solomon's father, David, builded for an armory, whereupon hang 1,000 bucklers. In other words, there's power in Christians who love. All shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like the young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. In other words, everything's at rest, everything's at peace. Until the day break, and that day has not yet come, we're talking about the millennium here, until the day break and the shadows flee away, darkness will be gone from the earth, the wicked will be cast into the pit, and so on and so forth. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh. This is a sweet-smelling fragrance, and to the hill of frankincense. Again, the worship of God is sweet-smelling. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. God is looking for no spot in his beloved. We are his beloved. The proof of it is not that you believe at outer court, not that you're being disciplined or discipled or trained or taught or afflicted or instructed in the holy place, but that you're actually living this without any effort at all. There's no effort in it. Why? Because you don't do anything. My whole point in starting all this was to say, God doesn't want your work. Let's say you built this pew right here, and then you put your fingerprint on it. It's already an imperfect work. Just because you took credit, just because you wanted a reward, just because you said, that was mine. Look, everything belongs to Jesus. You are his. You don't have an identification apart from him. He is you. He's no longer God. God is no longer God. He's your God. You are no longer you. You are his you. I don't know if you see that. That's marriage. You changed your nature because you changed your name. His name is now your only name. Remember, in heaven, we get a new name. Well, that new name is his name. The only reward you get in heaven is not 3 crowns versus 2. The only reward you get in heaven is not a doghouse versus a mansion. The only reward you get in heaven is the Lord. That's the only reward. I'm not talking about the millennium. I'm talking about heaven, the eighth, the beginning of the new. After 7,000 years, we're in 6,000. We're already in the 7,000th year, which is very close then. We don't know when it'll happen. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But it's about to happen that the Lord's going to wrap everything up before he comes. The Antichrist has to have his 3.5-year thing. And that is very close. It is so close, it's unbelievable. So unless you sense that this world is running out of steam and so on and so forth. Even the world, as I said, they know it. They are so aware, and they're not in church, they're not in synagogue, they're not in, you know, the imams thing and so on. They know something's wrong. Something's wrong in this world. And people are afraid, they're crying. You know, people talk to me and they say, I'm so afraid. Well, don't be afraid. I mean, no, perfect love casts out all fear. God has everything all set for us. All he wants you to do is come and know him now. Rejoice in him now. Your Father is a heavenly Father that forgives all your sins, past, present, and future. They're all forgiven. He's not mad at anything you've done. How many have done a few sins? How many are at the 4% level of sin? You know, okay, he doesn't care. He's died for that. When Jesus died, you died. So he doesn't care what you thought in the past, did in the past, felt and so on, what you're feeling right now. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is know him. Come to him as you are. Don't put on fig leaves of pretending like you're better than you are and so on. Just come clean. Come clean. Come naked. When you're a lover, you are naked. That's why it says in here, you have breasts and you have and hair. And he's looking intimately at his beloved. He's not just the Lord standing among lampstands saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He's the beloved looking at his bride and saying, you are too perfect, too beautiful. Everything about you is lovely. That's the promise God made. That is why we have faith in God's promise, not works where we get a reward. We're not getting there by some works that we didn't do or did do. Well, I'm no longer like this. Now I'm more like this. That's not why you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because of anything you did or didn't did. You're going to heaven because Jesus did something. And you couldn't do it because it's a perfect work where you're not part of it, where you're the whole reason for everything he does. You are the beneficiary, then you become the trustee, and then you become married to him who is the benefactor of the whole earth, and you become a benefactor. You become one with him in such a way that there's no difference. And when they hear you, they hear God. And that's why they glorify the Father, because they know you are the Father's child and you are Jesus' bride. Not in heaven, on earth. This is what God wants in his church, so that we would be transparent after going through the holy place, dead, crucified with Christ, so that you no longer live, but Christ liveth in you and through you. To me, this is exciting, and it works. I mean, it's so beautiful in our marriage. It's so beautiful in the church. It's so beautiful wherever you go, because the word that we have is not just an empty word. We're not just talking about Jesus. We're not just talking about Jesus is only glorified if you also are one with him, glorified from the Holy of Holies. He doesn't want you just to be a believer. It's not he who begins. It's he who endures through the holy place to get to the end, the Holy of Holies, bridal, marriage. We haven't yet come to that point. We're betrothed right now, but the proof of betrothal is stay clean, stay pure, stay unspotted. You can't do that, but he can do it. So you just go to him and say, Lord, I'm spotted still. Help, you know, help. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. You know, help me, Lord, because I can't do this. You can do it. I want it. Now I'm in the holy place. I want it. But what will make the love come? You are love. Only God is good. Only God is great. Only God is loving. Only God has all the attributes that you need. And all of those are unconditional, beautiful, loving things from a loving Father who wants the whole world to be saved if possible. He's already told you it won't be. So you don't have to worry about that. But just get as many as are given. He didn't make them come. They came on their own. But he willed it, meaning he wanted it, but he never forced it. So your free will still operates. Now, but your free will won't work until you hear the good news, because it's not a law that you have to keep. It's a promise you must believe. So the only issue in life is, does God lie? He made a promise, I read it. But does he lie? Can he not keep his promise? And his promise is not outer court. It's not holy place. It's outer court, holy place, holy of holies on this earth. We should be now living out of the holy of holies so that we keep that. Keep that. That is Thessalonians 5:23, where it says, keep yourself holy, not only in the spirit, but also in the soul, but also in the body. In other words, not get it, but keep it. So you're already taken care of by God, even though it doth not yet appear. The world sees Jesus when they see you in such a transparent way that they don't see you, but they see him. In other words, you're in love. You're in love. So I am in love. I'm in love with my wife. I'm in love with the church. I'm in love with the world. I love my enemies. I have wonderful enemies. And I pray for them. Why? I pray for them. Why? Because that's my nature, agape. Agape is not phileo. It's not eros. The agape love is, that's my nature. I'm a lover. Who did that? He did it in the outer court. Then it brought me into the holy place where I said, Lord, I submit to you in everything. You say, well, how can you make somebody want that? You can't. You either do or you don't. And then when you trust him like that, and once you taste of you being dead and not you living your life, you know, in your selfish, you know, always taking care of yourself way, you won't want to go back. You won't want to go back. Oh, let's go on the outer court again. Let's be lukewarm. That was a lot better. No, it isn't. No. Once you taste of loving someone, you see one person saved, one person healed, one person delivered, one person coming to the Lord. I tell you, it's too wonderful. I had a teaching, was it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday night? Friday? Okay, Friday over in Dallas, and somebody that goes to our Dallas church, and they said, you know, I'm going to open up my business and invite 30, 40 of my friends that I've known over the years who aren't Christians and, you know, just people that I like to hear the message. And so they all came and, you know, I shared. But one woman came this morning and I told Peggy, I said, of all the people, I would not have expected her to come. But she showed up in our Dallas church and then she began to tell her story. She said, you know, when I heard you, I realized for the first time that I didn't understand discipleship or the holy place and that I needed to do that. And then she said, but Saturday, God spoke to me, and all of a sudden I realized I have to have that. And she said it was, you know, just totally real. And she began to weep, and immediately God began to tell her some things, and so she showed up this morning. Well, what I don't know, or didn't know until Peggy told me, is after I left, because I had to preach, Peggy was still talking to her, annoying the sermon. And she was talking to her, and she told her life story. I'm not going to tell you. It's powerful that this woman years ago began, and then something happened that stopped her. And then all of a sudden, what happened 2 days ago turned her life around again, particularly yesterday, because she just heard the word. She heard it, but she didn't understand it because she came up afterward and said, well, I don't quite understand this. God is now about to bring his bride into the Holy of Holies, and you into that place of love, unconditional. You're not bothered by this world. And if there's any sin left in you, turn it to Jesus. Give it to the Lord. Lord, there's still a little selfishness. There's still a little, you know, worry. Still a little envy in me. There's still a little, you know, I'm looking for something in life other than you. No. Let's be dead to everything in this world and alive to God. We are a heavenly people. We are an eternal people who are forever and ever and ever to live with the Lord as our beloved. If that's not satisfying to you, you don't want to go there. You want to go in the other place, which probably won't be satisfying to you, but you're a hard person to get satisfied. That's obvious. Because what you need to know is there is no life apart from him. He is the tree of life. He is everything you want. He's your all in all. Well, I've fallen in love. As for me and my house, we're in love with Jesus, and I'm not turning back. Once you put your hand to the plow, don't turn back, because your oxen are going to trample over everything you just grew. But just keep going. So how many are ready? I want to go into the Holy of Holies, live out of the Holy of Holies. I want to be an unconditional lover, get right with my mother, my father, my aunts, my uncles, all my neighbors, my friends, everyone, including my enemies. I want to be a true Christian, not just believe in Jesus, but Jesus showing up in me. So that they can see him. That they can see him. That's the glory of God. That's what God wants. And this is eternal life, that they know thee. That word know, I told you, is intercourse. That they have an intercourse knowledge of me. That they have an intimate knowledge of me. That they know thee, the only true God, and You can't have two gods. So this must be the same God, Jesus Christ. They're together. Why? They're one. Whom thou hast sent. And we are being made part of that family. We don't belong there because we're not doers of good works. But Jesus showed us the way. As he was a steward, came to earth, even though he was the Son of God, he became the Son of Man so he could die to pay for your sins, to show you the way so that then you could be sons of God. He became a Son of Man so you could become sons of God. That Savior, Lord, Priest, King is what's happening now in us. That's what God wants. So how many are ready to go all the way? That's what Jesus wants. He's looking for a church of lovers. Lovers, lovers. I am a lover. Say it. Yeah, that's who you are. You're perfect. God just said, my beloved, you're my love. You are fair. Your teeth are like this. Your eyes are like this. Your breasts are like this. Everything about you I love. He's naked with her. He's undressed. He's intimate with her. Hidden away in the Holy of Holies. No one can see this but you. But everyone can see your works that come from that love affair. That is what the church must be. So it can't stay within four walls. It can't stay inside the Holy of Holies safe. It can't just be selfishly getting me into heaven. It's me reaching out to others who won't become Christians even. But you still owe them to love them and to extend your love to them. Let them decide. You can't force them. Just give the love indiscriminately. That's agape. Hope you're blessed. Hope you're blessed by that. Anyone want to give a testimony? Yes. Amen. I can't exactly hear, but it sounded like it was good. Oh, right. Amen. It's good. And of course, it's not the branch. When men say your good works, they glorify the Father. No, that's what she was saying. So it isn't us. It's him. He does it all. What he begins, he will surely complete. That's why he's in us to will. You won't will it. He's in us to will. You won't will it. But he's in us to will. All of those that are in the outer court, then he will cause your will at the table of showbread. He will cause your will to be submitted to his will and to do that's in the Holy of Holies. So he's in us to do all that. How many know that he can't lie? So let him finish it. He will finish it. But you won't be forced. So if you want to say, I don't want you to go any further, then he won't. God, you've done enough. I just want to be in the outer court. He's not going to force you to go into the holy place. It's up to you to say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. I not only love you for what you saved me, did for me, but I trust you. I want me to be dead. I don't want me to be complaining and griping and worrying and all that. I want to be dead. I want to be done with all that. I want to be a heavenly person on earth. I want, as it is in heaven, to be on earth. As it is in heaven, so let it be through me on earth. Let it be through me now, today, this minute on earth. All right, God is great.